And so maybe you're here today and you're in a situation for right now that is not going to change. You may have a employer that seems to be on your case at every turn, an employer that seems to be unbearable, and you're in a situation that for right now is not going to change. You may be in a relationship, and either your husband or your wife, that they're not going to change. They're going to continue to do what they do, and you have to ask yourself, how do I redeem the time in the meantime, in between time?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, Redeeming the Time. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of how to redeem the time in the meantime, the in-between time.
Jeremiah chapter 29. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we get the background to it in chapter 28. There was a man by the name of Hananiah, and he had prophesied to the captives who were in Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar had taken off into Babylon, and we see that God had a certain plan for them in Babylon. But in chapter 28, Hananiah tells them to don't worry about anything because you're not going to be there too long. That you can pretty much plan on maybe being there 2 to 3 years. And then after that, you will come back home again. And Jeremiah got word that Hananiah had given this prophecy. And so God told Jeremiah that he needed to straighten out what Hananiah had said. And so Jeremiah goes to Hananiah and he says that unless you take back the words that you said, that God is going to take your life. And Hananiah continued to tell the people that they were going to be released and that they were going to be able to go back to Jerusalem. And we see that in verse 17 of chapter 28, it says, so Hananiah the prophet died. So God took his life for giving this false prophecy. And then Jeremiah comes along, and because many of the people had believed Hananiah's words, Jeremiah comes along, and he says, well, let me set the story straight. He tells them in chapter 29 and verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all who carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build your houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat them. Take to yourselves wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give daughters to your husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminish. The subject that I want to speak to you on this morning is how to redeem the time in the meantime, in between time. How to redeem the time in the meantime, in between time. You see, you may be in a situation this morning that's not going to change. As we looked at the video today with the Tuskegee Airmen, they were in a situation that wasn't going to change. They were in a situation where they were told that they could not fly planes because they weren't brave enough, because they weren't intelligent enough, and because they weren't disciplined enough. And so they could have said, well, let's sit back and let's wait until something changes. But they didn't do that. They took the bull by the horns, and they did what they needed to do to make the best of a bad situation. And so maybe you're here today, and you're in a situation for right now that is not going to change. You may have an employer that seems to be on your case at every turn, an employer that seems to be unbearable, and you're in a situation that for right now is not going to change. You may be in a relationship, and either your husband or your wife, that they're not going to change. They're going to continue to do what they do, and you have to ask yourself, how do I redeem the time in the meantime, in between time? That God will bring me out, and God will deliver me. But up until that point of deliverance, I've got to deal with this situation. And what do I do in the midst of the fact that I have to deal with this situation? You may be here today and you're in debt. And you will say to yourself that, boy, when I get out of debt, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And when my ship comes in, I'm going to be able to do such and such and do that. And what do you do now? In between time, in the meantime, what do you do when your ship is not in? What do you do while you're waiting? What do you do in a situation where you say, I can't wait till I get finished with school. And when I finish school, then I'll be able to do this or do that. Thank God that we have a living example today in the video that we watched this morning of some people that didn't wait until the situation got better. That they didn't wait until all the chips fell into place. They didn't wait till all the ducks lined up in the row. They knew that there were some things that needed to be done, and in the meantime, in between time, they learned how to redeem the time. And so I want to challenge you today. I don't know where you are. You know, as you think, you can think about your situation right now. And you can say, I'm facing this, and I'm in this impossible situation, and it seems like the situation, no matter what I do, no matter how I try to adjust to it, no matter how I try to handle to it, it seems like it's just not going to change. And I can endure this and be miserable and be unfruitful and be unproductive until something changes. Or I can look what God told the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. And I can take the words that Jeremiah gave them, and I can use that for my life. You know, many people, when we read these verses here, and let me read them to you again. It says in verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all who are carried away captives, unto whom I have caused it be carried away to Jerusalem, unto Babylon, build your houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them, and take to yourself wives and begot sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And many people believe that this, for generations, you know, as Nicoda said about the Jewish people, their deliverance out of Egypt, and they're dealing with the Holocaust. Many people have written on this Jeremiah 29 passage and said that this is, watch this now, this is the Jewish survival guide. This is how the Jewish people were to learn how to survive in the midst of situations that were brutal and in the midst of situations that weren't going to change. And so you may find yourself, and we know that you are not in worse situation than the Jewish people have been, especially when Pharaoh arose to power in Egypt and began to oppress the Israelites. And then all we need to do is think back, you know, even back in the 19th century, and how that Jewish people were massacred in hordes in Nazi Germany. And we see that they learned how to survive in the midst of that. And like I said, these verses here in Jeremiah 29, many of the rabbis have said that this is the Jewish survival guide right here. And maybe this might be your survival guide today. We could very well say that of the Tuskegee Airmen, this was their survival guide. And if this has worked for the Jewish people, if it worked for the Tuskegee Airmen, surely it can work for you where you are in whatever situation you're dealing with today. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe you got word that there's an illness in your body and it seems like there's no hope and no cure, or it seems like you're not getting better right now. How do you handle the situation? Well, Jeremiah gives us some pointers on how to do that. The first thing that Jeremiah tells us, that whatever you're doing, the first thing that you have to do is you have to submit to the hand of God. Look at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all who are carried away captives, whom, watch this, I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. God says, whom I have caused to be carried away. The situation that you're in today, it may not be because God concocted a plan to cause you to go through this, but the reality is that God knows about it. The reality is, like in the life of Job, that even though God didn't bring those things against Job, that he allowed those things to come into Job's life. And as you think about what it is that you're going through today, maybe God didn't, like we looked a couple weeks ago, maybe God didn't create a storm like he did in the life of Jonah and throw a storm at the boat that you're on, but God allowed this situation to come upon you. And how do you redeem the time in the meantime, in between time? You got to submit to the hand of the Lord. You got to realize that as far as things are concerned right now, there may be nothing that you can do about it. There was nothing that the Jewish people could do to overthrow the Babylonian government. I mean, Babylon ruled the world at that time. And so even if the Jewish people would decide to get together in that little community there in Babylon and revolt against the Babylonians, it would have been absolutely worthless. So the best thing that we can do is realize that God is in control, and that we submit to the hand of God, whatever it is that we're going through. I like what I read in the pulpit commentary. It says this: why dash our heads against the prison walls? The brain will suffer before the granite. Why keep hitting your head against the Bethany walls? Your head will suffer before that concrete over there. And that's what it's like when we try to fight against something that's gone on in our life that we can't change. When we try to fight against something that's gone on in our life that seems to be a rock-hard wall, the only thing that we can do is say, Lord, I've tried and I've tried to overcome this. I've tried to fight it, and it seems like there's no progress. It seems like I'm not getting anywhere, and the only thing I can do is just submit it to you. Just give it over to you. When I was in Africa, I don't know what I expected when I went over there, but I remember one of the first evenings that I was there. We went up into the upcountry, and we were taken around in the community to see where some of the needs are. And then that evening, we all spent the night at somebody's house who lived in the area. Now, you got to keep in mind that we were at, there was no plumbing, there was no electricity. So I'm the type of person, generally I can't even go to bed before 11:30. Because I just got to wear myself down and get tired, then I can go to bed and go to sleep. And usually, if I go to sleep, before that, I'm up like at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and I can't go back to sleep. So we were sitting there eating, and it was around maybe 6 o'clock. And again, keep in mind, it's out in the country, and doors are open, chickens and dogs and everything else are running in and out. And I remember sitting there eating, and while we were eating, a cat jumped up on the table and started walking around the food. Now, I don't have anything against cats, but I just have a little problem when they're walking over my plate. I'll just be honest with you. And so we ate, and, by the time we got finished eating, they had lit a candle because it got dark. And I remember the guy who was hosting me, he said, if you want to wash up, he said that, we can, no, he said, if you want to take a bath. So I said, okay, well, a bath. So I go in, man, and I go in this room, and the only thing that's in there is a little hole in the wall, and he brings in this basin with hot water in it that he heated outside, and this soap in a towel. And I said, a bath. And I sat there, and I said, what am I supposed to do? Now, I stood there for 5 minutes trying to figure out what to do. Finally, something said, just get busy, man. that's all you can do. And so I remember going to bed around 8 or 9 o'clock that night. And again, I know this is absolutely ridiculous. I'm sitting there saying, why in the world did I say that I would come here? I mean, I'm laying there thinking, why in the world did I come here? I said, you know what? This is just absolutely crazy. This is insane. And I began to complain to the Lord. And I got mad at Andre Cassell because he had taken us there. And I mean, I was upset, man. And it was like the Lord, in the midst of all that, the Lord said to me, Bill, that plane is not going back to America for 2 more weeks. He said, either you can complain and be bitter and upset and have a bad attitude the whole time you're here, or you can be broken and you can submit to this process that I'm taking you through at this time and be blessed through it. And it was at that point where I threw my hands up in the air and I said, okay, Lord, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, in my heart, I will agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And I tell you what, had not God broken me that night and some of the rest of the stuff that we had to deal with while we were there in Africa, I'd have never made it. But I thank God that I learned a lesson that night as I laid there in that bed, and that was submit to the hand of God. Now, I'm even going to tell you, man, I saw... When we was there, I saw, this is no joke. I don't know what it was. It looked like a cockroach, man. It's about that big. When I saw that, I said, I had my hood, my sweat hood, and I put it on. And when I laid down that night, I covered my face. I put the blanket over. And I'm just saying, so, it could have been a terrible experience. But God allows us that when we will be broken before him, that no matter what situation we're going through, situations that we are not going can change. And you know what Brother Andre told me? Andre said, man, he said, we get people come over here all the time. And when we take them to places, they begin to complain and get upset. And some people have even tried to go back. And I said, wow, you are resisting, and like I initially did. You are fighting against. You are hitting your head against the granite. And you just need to submit to the hand of God. Oh, I notice I didn't say be happy about your situation. I didn't say be glad that you're going through that. James said count it all joy. He didn't say count it joy because of what's happened to you. He's saying you have a joyful spirit in the midst of what's happening to you. And so as you deal with that, the first thing that you got to do is you got to submit to the hand of God. And that's what Jeremiah was trying to get across. to the people. The second thing that you've got to do, you've got to make the best of a bad situation. Verses 5 and 6. In the midst of the fact that situations are not going to change, that even though Hananiah told you that things are not going to change, even though the United States government told you that you're not brave enough, you're not intelligent enough, you're not disciplined enough to fly planes, in the midst of all that, you got to, verse 5, build yourself houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take to yourself wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and your daughters to husbands, and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminish. That you've got to make the best of a bad situation. There was a lady who woke up one day and found that her man had left her. And she was so heartbroken that she said, I've really got to use my imagination to think a good reason to keep on keeping on. I've got to make the best of a bad situation. Every day since I woke up and found you were gone. You got to make the best of. Her man had left her. She said, I got to find a good reason. Keep on keeping on. You got to make the best of a bad situation. He said, build yourself houses. Build yourself houses. The Hebrew word for house here refers to a permanent structure. Jeremiah could have very easily have used the word build a tent. He could have said build a tent because you're not going to be here that long. But Jeremiah said, no, don't build a tent because if it rains, then the tent will get wet. If it rains, then it'll get all mushy around you. If it rains, then the tent has the possibility of collapsing. He said, build a house so that you can make the best of a bad situation. You see, Hananiah was telling the people to protest. Jeremiah was telling the people, be productive. Hananiah was saying, fight. Jeremiah was saying, bring forth fruit. Hananiah said, burn, baby, burn. Jeremiah said, build, baby, build. Jeremiah knew that they needed to make the best of the situation that was around them. Russell Cornwell, who traveled through the United States, had a speech that he would use. It was called Acres of Diamond. And in the speech, he told about a young man who graduated from Yale. And he had a degree in mining engineering. And as he did this, he was offered a position at Yale as an instructor. But he refused the position because he wanted to go west and search for gold. And so he convinced his mother, who was a widow, to sell her home. And they sold everything they had as they went to search for gold. When they went and searched for gold, they spent years and never found any gold. And
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Redeem the Time, In the Meantime, the In-Between Time. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How to Redeem the Time, In the Meantime, the In-Between Time, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Redeem the Time, In the Meantime, the In-Between Time. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Redeem the Time, In the Meantime, the In-Between Time. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.